Did you know we've moved?
Move it! I like to move it, move it.
Our new home at TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, bringing you new content like Fight Show Live and the Spanish Announce Table, and the same shows that you've come to enjoy like Old School at the Movies, Trending Mobile Technology, and The Real News. Make sure you check us out every week, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon!
Stop all the downloading!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 63 for November 28th, 2013. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like The Spanish Announce Table, The Real News, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies, D-O-T-net. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. We've got our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
Gallifrey stands.
We've got Kebbo Trek.
Howdy.
We've got Carp.
It's no pants party, y'all.
And we've got Will.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's get into the news.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Big news story this week, starting off with the Fast and Furious guy is remaking Roadhouse. Watchmen writer hired for Gran Turismo video game adaptation. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon to produce Sleeper, a DC comic adaptation. Ron Burgundy belts a tune for Toronto Mayor Rob Ford on Conan. Got a trailer for Schwarzenegger leading a badass team in Sabotage. Batman vs. Superman may be going by one of these awkward titles. And Hammer plans remake of 1957 Arctic horror Abominable Snowman. Heavyset, what would you like to discuss this week?
I'm kind of liking Batman vs. Superman may be going by one of these awkward titles. And happy Thanksgiving to all the American listeners without screwing it up this week like I did last week.
Yeah, I don't know about this Thanksgiving thing. We had it last month, so you're a little late, Heavyset. Yeah.
Real Thanksgiving, America.
Yeah.
America Thanksgiving.
Yeah, America Thanksgiving is when?
Thursday. Today.
Oh, I see.
See, we celebrate our slaughter of the Indians earlier than the Americans.
I see. No, we were nice.
No, we don't call them Indians here. We call them Tatankas.
No, but we gave them fairy guys. It was a fairy tree. We gave them very pretty beads.
You call your cops Mounties.
Hey, that's our FBI, thank you very much.
Yeah.
That is our FBI, yeah.
Suck it, the FBIs!
Anyway.
All right. Everyone has been calling the Man of Steel sequel that brings Batman into the mix simply Batman versus Superman, but the reality is the film remains untitled. Many think that going by the comic book title, World's Finest, is a great idea, but not everyone is a comic book fan. And that title doesn't make it clear that the movie features Batman or Superman. However, the alternative may be one of a series of awkward and basically terrible titles that Warner Brothers has registered through the internet brand protection company Mark Monitor. They all feature the phrase Man of Steel to make sure everybody knows that this is a Superman sequel, but they also feature some generic phrases and Batman-related puns. Article says it's kind of a mess. I'm going to read a couple of titles. We'll say yay or nay quickly. Man of Steel, Battle the Night.
Nay.
Nay.
Nay. Yay.
Man of Steel, Beyond Darkness.
Sounds too much like Into Darkness.
Man of Steel, Darkness Falls.
Nay.
Nay, because that sounds too much like Skyfall.
Yeah, I'm pretty much a nay on every single one of these. So.
Wasn't there a movie called Darkness Falls?
There was. It was a terrible horror movie.
Yeah, it was a horror film.
Man of Steel, Cock Talk.
Yay. I'll go with that.
Man of Steel, Shadow of the Night.
Nay.
Man of Steel, The Blackest Hour.
Nay.
Okay, so just Nate everything pretty much.
And short of just Batman titles. Versus Superman.
Do you think this could be just a curveball that they're throwing fake titles there?
Well, I mean, they're filming something like near my office, and it's like the movie name is P.S., and I highly doubt it's going to be called P.S.
P.S., worst movie title ever.
If you look up on IMDb, it tells you whatever it was filmed under or whatever it was shipped to cinemas in. So they use just bullshit names to get people away from interest in the actual set location.
That's a good point, yeah. So, but do you think that, like, these are possible concepts? Again, do you think they're just, you know, maybe teasing the internet audience a bit to get the buzz going? I don't know. I mean, it seems that Batman versus Superman's the obvious choice here.
Actually, guys, the thing is that it could be for, like, let's say, video games based on the movie. Or, like, I don't know, adaptations that they just, for extra merchandising that they throw out these titles. Because if ever they do end up using them, they don't want to be stuck buying the copyright off someone else.
Because it makes sense. I mean, how much would it cost the studio to register a title? Probably $60 or whatever it is. So
compared to, like, having to buy it off someone else. Like for example, you can't wait once when there was all the next Pope names that could happen. This guy bought all the next Pope name sites. Like, I don't know, it was like Benedict 16th was one of them. Like that, whenever the Pope got named, he had to, like, pay for the domain name. Anyway, so like
that's awesome.
Yeah. So you do that in advance.
But Super Bat.
No, just call it, like, I don't know, the Man of Steel versus the Dark Knight or versus Cape Crusader, whatever. But we'll.
I think Batman versus Superman's the best title.
No, because they want to make a Man of Steel sequel. I understand that.
What about if you combine Batman and Superman and call it Batman?
or Superman. Huh?
Super Batman.
Take a tomato type thing.
What about the Man of Dark Steel?
Isn't that Jack? Wasn't he Dark Steel? No,
he was just Steel.
All right, so if anybody out there has a better title than these giant piles of crap, let us know. But I'm going towards Batman versus Superman. Will, let's throw this to you. Let's get your news story for this week.
You know what? We're going to talk about remaking Roadhouse.
We all know that two wrongs generally don't make a right, and this next bit is definitely going to challenge the elasticity of that saying. MGM is taking the remake trend to extremes by offering up to the gods of the cult action thriller Roadhouse, arguably the most memorable example of a guy-friendly performance from Patrick Swayze. I mean, yeah, Red Dawn, but Roadhouse. Come on. Neither Christopher Nolan or David O. Russell is taking this one on, though. And the job has gone to Rob Cohen, arguably best known for bringing the Fast and the Furious into this world. Let's get your thoughts about this. Do you think Roadhouse needs a remake?
No, I don't. I don't think anything needs a remake, to be honest, old school. But I don't think that it's an automatic bad. We talked about this last week when we're talking about a sequel to A Christmas Story. I understand that making a sequel makes no sense. A remake would make more sense, and whatever, that's up to Kevo if that's good or not. What I wanted to say was that sometimes a remake is perfectly fine. Like the True Grit remake. I mean, John Wayne is cool, but it's not the same as it used to be, right? It's very hard to associate with those movies. So when the Coen brothers made their remake, it was more accessible for current moviegoers. And I think Roadhouse is a fun, kick-ass film. And if someone can make something really good out of it, then I don't see why we should, like, think it sucks. However, if it turns out to be more like the RoboCop film, where they seem to lose the heart of it and lose the point of it, then in that case, I don't know. I don't really think it would be great.
Do you think there's a set time limit in which they shouldn't touch something? Because, I mean, Batman was pretty quick.
But it wasn't...
That turned out amazing.
Yeah, it was. But it wasn't... It's tough to say, because that was... Well, Spider-Man was even quicker, no? Spider-Man was really quick.
It was 5 years.
It was like, yeah, 5 years. No, it's those, I think, are different because those are like movie franchises. Like, you hope to see a new one all the time. Like, we could say that that James Bond is a remake too, or what was it? Because it was like a prequel, or it was a new film that was before everything else. This is more of a remake. I think it's fine to have it now. They should not just redo the exact same story beats, because then we have the original movie for that anyway. So if you're going to make something again, make it new and make sure to have your own spin on it. What I would say is, example saying that really was not needed was the remake of Psycho by Gus Van Sant. All he did was a shot-by-shot remake, the exact same shots, but just instead of Norman Bates, the guy playing Norman Bates, you had, we had Vince Vaughn playing instead. So there was no point to it. Stuff like that makes no sense. But something like Fright Night, I thought was very good. Now we've got a good CGI. That was a good use of a remake.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good to have a little bit of a throwback to the original.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Give an example, RoboCop. I would have liked to have heard an updated theme, like the old school theme, but make it more updated. And the fact that they completely negated that, even if it's just a musical theme, to me, it would have got me more into that movie. Well, stuff like that I like to see.
But like, they didn't do it for the Batman movies either. It was a total new score. And they didn't do it for a new Superman movie either. So I don't know.
But the thing is, the score was good. If you're going to replace it, at least have something good.
I see. So see, this one might be crap. Yeah, probably will be. Yeah, I know what you mean.
All right, Kebo, Tracklist, throw this to you, man. What would you like to discuss?
I'll go with the new Arnie trailer.
How's he tattooing a dick on your back, Tyra?
It's a fallen soldier, bro.
He got you!
Yo. Morning, boss.
Get your weapons. Let's go.
You, put the shirt on.
It does kind of look like a dick.
Three out. I'm the judge. Don't blow your balls off.
Don't worry, they're made of grass.
Are they as big as your wife's?
Go, go, go. Cover your sides.
Dork.
Target down!
Yes, Matt.
Down!
Clean up aisle three.
And what we do, there is only trust.
You're the heart and soul of this team.
The arrest today of a major cartel leader has led to a seizure of millions of dollars in cartel money.
McNeely?
Something off. Oh, my God.
I gotta ask you a few questions. $10 million is missing from your cartel bust. Did you steal it?
No.
Two murders of DEA agents have happened on my watch.
Why do you think the cartel's killing your guys?
It's the money.
They're watching us.
The only way to stop the cartel is to find out who stole the money.
It could be someone on my team, one of my own people.
Some of us are getting paid, the rest of us are just getting dead.
Cartel's got your wife and kid. I'm sorry.
Tell John to come for you.
Please don't find me!
I'm gonna destroy them.
Sabotage, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Josh Holloway, Olivia Williams. We've got Terrence Howard in there as well. One thing, I don't know if you noticed this, Kev, but it looks like it was filmed on digital film. It looks, I don't know, just different from like the grainy kind of traditional film. Did you catch that at all?
I didn't when I first watched it, but now that you mention it, it did look like a pretty sharp image.
Does that come off as cheap? To me, it comes off as low budget. I don't know. What do you think about that?
If you want to say it, go ahead, Garb.
Okay, this is the guy who directed End of Watch, I believe. Yeah, End of Watch. End of Watch was basically filmed like that, where Jake Gyllenhaal kind of had like a hand cam most of the time. And it was like a day in the life of two LA cops in one of the ghettoest neighborhoods. And he's like filming this because he needs credits to get like a film class. End of Watch was an amazing movie. And I'm actually really looking forward to this movie right now because of that David Ayer guy.
I don't know. In a movie, you kind of lose yourself after a couple of minutes. But the way this film is shot, I could see myself having trouble losing myself in the film. And I know you had mentioned the movie with Gyllenhaal playing the cop. That was more of to be more real because he's doing kind of a cops type thing. But this isn't like that. This is just... It seems like a traditional film style, but the sharpness of the image takes me out of it. I don't know if you guys agree with me on that, but to me, it would be a big thing.
No, I was just surprised that it actually looked good.
What do you think about this movie, Kev? Do you think it's going to do well? You want to go see it? I mean, it's a traditional Arnold movie, of course. His classic role is his protagonist type role. What do you think about this movie?
I thought it looked a lot better than his last few movies, like The Last Stand and... What was the Stallone one?
Escape Plan.
Yeah, I don't know.
There was moments in Escape Plan that felt like a solid 80s action flick, man. Like when he pulls that M80 off the helicopter and just starts going in fucking town on the security guards. Like that felt old school Arnie right there.
Well, it's kind of like with this movie, like, I felt like it was going back to, like, him not being useless like he was in Escape Plan. So it looked like a classic 80s, early 90s Schwarzenegger movie. And I think it looks really, really good. Will it do good at the box office? I'm not sure, but I think it will do better than his last couple of movies.
All right, Carp, let's throw this to you. You're going to close this week with your news story.
Well, I was going to pick the Schwarzenegger, but that's been taken. So I'm going to go with the Ron Burgundy belted tune for Toronto crackhead Mayor Rob Ford.
This is awesome. I'm loving all these kind of viral things that they're doing for Anchorman 2. Will Ferrell's in, he was in character doing Conan's show. He was doing commercials for Chevrolet and all that. And all of this kind of social media buzz is going to be great for this movie. So we're going to play a clip from Conan where Burgundy, or Will Ferrell in character as Ron Burgundy, sings Mayor Ford's campaign song for next campaign. This is pretty good. Play it and get your thoughts.
You
yes.
are getting into the political arena.
I am
as well.
Just
a little treat that I wanted to bring up.
My dear, dear, dear friend, Mayor Rob Ford of Toronto. is running for re-election, okay. And I hold him in the highest regard. He is the best.
Okay.
And,
really? He's the best?
Oh, outstanding individual. And his little brother, Donnie or Dougie or whatever. But he's asked me to sing the campaign theme song for his re-election.
This is controversial. He's a controversial figure. And
he's controversial because he's so damn honest. Yeah.
Okay, so you've chosen to sing the campaign song for Mayor Rob Ford.
Of course, who wouldn't?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a little, one of his favorite bands from Calgary, Loverboy. And I'm just so thrilled.
Yeah. And you're going to.
He's the best.
Okay. You're going to sing this for us?
I'm going to sing it for you right now.
Well, this is fantastic. All right.
Everyone's watching. See what you will do. Everyone's looking at you. Looking at you, Rob. Everyone's wondering, will you come out tonight? Everyone's trying to get it right. Get it right. But everybody's working for the weekend. That's right, Rob. Everybody wants a new romance. Everybody's going off the deep end. Don't do anything stupid, Rob. Everybody needs a second chance. You want a piece of my heart? Step from the start. You want to be in the show? Come on, baby, let's go!
I'm loving this kind of viral marketing stuff. I think, you know, we saw stuff with Bruno and Borat when they were kind of in character doing interviews as well. I think more of these things need to happen. You know, screw breaking the fourth wall. Just go in character and just do interviews and stuff and do viral videos. Just walk down the street as Batman and stuff. I think that'd be awesome. What do you think about that, Carp? You think it's a good idea to do that kind of stuff?
It's a phenomenal idea, plus using current stuff that's really popular in the media, like crack smoking Mayor Rob Ford, who seems
he's a boozer and a crack smoker.
He seems to be like making more and more news every day, but I'd still vote for him over the dumb bitch who runs our province right now. So,
you know what, though? I don't know if you guys seen this online, bit off topic, but they did a trailer with Chris Farley, like just cutting his movies, and there's kind of like a Rob Ford biopic or whatever. But it was just done so well, and you know, it's a shame that Chris Farley isn't here, because he'd be perfect for that role.
Yeah, well, I saw Bobby Monahan try to do it on SNL a couple of weeks ago, and like he doesn't have that Chris Farley feel that he would have done. But like even with the Durango commercials, apparently sales of the Durango have gone up something like 43%
That's awesome.
Since he did the commercials. So the Ron Burgundy character is marketable in that. The fact that this took so long to make a sequel is still beyond me. And if they don't do a third almost right away, the studio would be mentally retarded.
more cross promotion with movies, social media, TV, commercials. They got to start doing more of this stuff. Anybody else in the panel want to chime in on this?
Something I want to mention is it seems like just everything that's been going on, like Ron Burgundy, whether it be on shows like this or viral things we see on the internet, has commented on it. Like I mentioned last week about the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who. There was a thing that came out over the weekend of like Ron Burgundy talking about Doctor Who, or someone like off camera was talking about it. And he was kind of like confused, like, Doctor Who, what? Peter Capaldi is Doctor, what? Doctor Who, what? Like, they did a thing with that, and that was one thing I liked. And it was announced, I just seen it yesterday or today, that it came out that Ron Burgundy will host SportsCenter on September the 5th.
It's awesome.
So it just seems like this is building up to this movie, and it's brilliant. Because, I mean, we don't see many movies do this. And it seems to be because it's Will Ferrell in this role, and it was fairly popular role, and he's a guy that can go out and do these type of things, that it's just perfect.
And it's free press. It's free for the studios. You know, you got Will Ferrell's time, dress him up with a mustache. But, I mean, compared to all these ads, I mean, it's free advertising. It's genius. Genius marketing. All right, let's get into their movie review of the week. So no one's seen the big movie Hunger Games yet. Going to check that out probably this week. So we're going to throw this to Will and Heavyset. Believe they've seen a Doctor Who movie. Will, let's start with you.
Thanks. Yeah, it was the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who. So what the BBC did is, since there's a 6-hour difference between us and England, they had, at the same time that it shows on TV there, every Cineplex and every cinema in the world kind of had this network and organized that everyone watched it at the same time. So me and my girlfriend went to watch it at Cineplex.
What was the attendance?
It was packed, and I realized I had to get there over an hour to have good seats, and I didn't. I got there half an hour early, so I had shitty seats. It was really crazy. Really crazy.
Another thing about all that is, he's seen it live. I watched it live on TV when it happened, but a different organization, I know Fathom Movie Events, which will show UFC, certain operas and whatnot in movie theaters. I think there's also like a lot of – I've seen Q&As. Like I've seen a Kevin Smith one at a Fathom event, which is like a lot of the United States theaters participated in. I know Regal's, Cinemark's. I'm not sure if AMC does, because there's not many around me. But I seen it on Monday, and I know – of the theaters that were close to me that had it, there was two show times, 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock at night. Oh, by the weekend, I think it was by Sunday, the 7 o'clock for all of them were sold out, and some of them even had 2 7 o'clocks.
Yes,
all sold out.
Wow, that's awesome!
It's
man.
Crazy. The craze for Doctor Who is going nuts, old school. You'll get into it sooner or later, whether you like it or not.
I've been watching a couple of episodes. It's just one of those. I'm the type of viewer where I like to watch stuff just in one after the other, and I had watched about, I think, half of the first season, the reboot,
mm-hmm.
and it's starting to get boring. So
here's the tip. The first season is kind of cheesy. I know there's a couple episodes there that aren't really that good, but I think there's still some diamonds within there.
In the rough?
Yeah, diamonds in the rough, some gems that are actually like good episodes. But after that, when David Tennant steps in, everything starts to build up, and I felt myself really hooked to this series at the end of season 2, where you see this part of an episode where it's the Daleks versus the Cybermen, and that was the moment I'm like, oh my god,
Doctor! Exterminate!
I fucking love that. Sorry, go ahead.
Anyway,
you have fun. If you like that old school, you'll have a good time with this.
Yeah. But it's when David Tennant gets in, that's when the things start to pick up. A lot of people of the current age love one of two doctors. If they love someone recent, it's either Matt Smith or David Tennant. So,
you know, and it's good you bring him up, because those are two doctors that show up in this 50th anniversary. It's a story about those two.
Mm-hmm.
And another cool thing is that along with them, you also have John Hurt, who is a very extremely famous actor, and he's in there. Now, just to get people to speed, the deal is that the Doctor is the last of the Time Lords, a breed of people that can travel time and space. He's last of them, and because it was a time war. It all sounds very geeky, and it is. But since the revival of it, as you've seen old school, there was a time war. We don't really know what happened, and this shows exactly who it is, while at the same time being a very standard monster of the week kind of episode, but as a movie.
they don't have continuation, right? You can just jump in at any point.
It depends. There's two-parters, but for the most part, yeah, you could jump in at any point. Yeah. Yeah, you can. Mm-hmm. It's always easier when a doctor regenerates, which means when they change the actor, either when his contract's up or when he decides to leave. But those are the easier ones. Or with big specials, like Christmas specials. And in this case, this was a special, and it's a good time to jump on as well. You get to see what the doctor is, who the doctor is, and you get to have a good idea of what's going on at the same time.
What I found interesting during the first season, they had,
sure.
You know, I forget who the companion is, what her name is.
Yeah, her name is
Billy Piper.
Billy Piper, yeah.
Rose. Okay. Rose Tyler.
Right.
Rose,
right.
That's right, Rose. Who's right. That awesome movie?
Right. So Rose is like, why do you all speak with British accents?
Huh?
You know, but they explained it well. They said, well, you know, like there's a universal translator in the TARDIS and you kind of understand whatever accent's closest to you. And that's why everybody speaks a British accent. That's kind of just
know that. That's cool.
At least they make like an attempt to, because, you know, it's a science fiction, but it doesn't go too geeky in the sense that they don't explain things too in depth. But
no, they don't.
It's still a very interesting show.
It's for fun. It's more for fun.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
All right, so for Doctor Who, what would you guys give it on 10?
I would give it 9 regenerations out of 10. I think it was very well done. What they did was they paid homage to the last 50 years with many different things. There's a lot of Easter eggs that you might have to go online to get them all if you're a big fan, like things you might not have catched. But at the same time, by the end of the episode, the end of the special, they're pointing towards the new direction of where they want to go coming up next. Because a lot of Doctor Who fans know that they're going to have a regeneration at the Christmas special, and we kind of know certain things that way, but they're setting up beyond that. And like I said, they still paid homage, whether it be little tidbits or everything that they did really well. It was great to see David Tennant and Matt Smith together going back and forth. Great to see Billy Piper back, even what she wasn't exactly her normal self. And there was I read a spoiler a couple of days prior, and then there's another former doctor that makes a cameo. I'm not going to break it if they didn't.
Yep.
I won't spoil it for anybody who didn't read about it like I did, because, you know, spoilers.
All right, Will, what would you give it on 10, man?
I give it an 8. It's fine, but some things don't make sense about it. I know it's Doctor Who, you shouldn't care about it, but a bit too timey-wimey. People don't understand what that means, the fans. That's about it.
Do you guys see more of these specials going out to the theater?
Yeah.
Not just the Doctor Who, but just like season finales or episode. Like, imagine if Breaking Bad was live in the theater. Like, I think that could have got a decent audience. I mean, I think this could be maybe the future of movie watching, where fanboys get together and really enjoy that kind of last episode or debut episode. I think we're going to see more of this.
Actually, also, I'll tell you one thing I forgot to mention. The reason why this was in theaters is that this is actually a 3D episode and was actually filmed in 3D, and 3D was actually part of the plot because they use paintings which are stuck in time. And because it's a time capsule, the painting is in 3D. And because you're wearing 3D glasses, you actually see what they're seeing in 3D. So that was a real big reason for the fact that it was in the movies.
Awesome. All right, let's throw this to Kebbo Trek as he breaks down the weekend box office. Break it down. All right, Kebbo Trek, what happened this week, buddy?
In a bit of a shocker, The Hunger Games Catching Fire takes first place with a paltry $158 million.
That's
crazy.
Weren't they saying it was going to make around $165?
They were talking about it, but when you still look at it, I believe it's the fourth highest weekend ever. So I really don't think the studio will be that sad about it.
No, I want it to $165 they predicted.
Well, I think it added like another $12 million on Monday, so it's at $170 total. Which is pretty ridiculous.
What do you think the drop-off rate's going to be for this?
I would say 55%.
Okay.
That would be my guess. Coming in second place, adding another $14 million, is Thor: The Dark World, giving it a total of about $168 million. Should finish with around $200 million, which will make the studio happy. The Best Man Holiday added another $12.4 million, giving it a robust $50.3 million on a $17 million budget. Won't be much in the foreign market there, but the studio will be happy. Delivery Man debuted with a weak $8 million. Will, what happened here?
Nobody wanted to see it. That's what happened.
Pretty much.
Nobody wanted to see his movie. It was dead on arrival.
It didn't market to anybody specifically.
No, oh, guys, the delivery man shot blanks.
But do you think it was was it a bad trailer, a bad story?
Yeah.
Are people getting tired of Vince Vaughn because the Google movie didn't exactly, you know, set the world on fire?
I think it's all of that. Where it really doesn't help is that the trailer did not let on to what the movie was actually about. And I don't know, maybe it's that. Maybe I had some really bad buzz.
It was a feel-good Vince Vaughn movie, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
He's not...
I think that would be the biggest reason.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, but if I had, like, donated sperm and they're like, oh, by the way, you're the father of 500 children, I'd be eating the business end of a fucking shotgun. So, I
mean... Kurt Cobain.
Exactly.
Coming in fifth place, adding $5 million, is Freebirds, giving it a total of $48 million. In sixth place, Las Vegas with another 4.3, giving it a total of about 54. Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa, adding another 3.5 million, giving it 95 million. Should end up with about 100 million on a $15 million budget, so obviously Paramount will be very happy there. Gravity came in eighth place, adding 3.2 million, giving it about 245. Should end with about a solid 255, and with the international, the studio will be very, very happy. 12 Years a Slave came in ninth place, adding 2.8 million, giving it a total of a little over 29. And rounding out the top 10, Dallas Buyers Club, adding 2.6 million, giving it a total of 6.3 million. And I think we'll see that go up as it adds more theaters and if it gets some Oscar buzz. So that is the top 10.
Thank you, Kebbo Trek. Movies coming up this week. We've got two. Black Nativity, which I'm sure is at the top of Carp's list. This is a musical. Besides that, we've also got an interesting trailer for a movie I might go check out. This is Homefront with Jason Statham. Let's play the trailer and get your thoughts.
Dad?
Yeah?
Why'd we move out here?
Beautiful house, horse trails. What else could we ask for?
I miss Mom.
Me too.
What, loser?
Give it back.
You want it? Come get it. What you gonna do about it?
No! I want this thing settled, and I mean now. Is that the father, not your girl? You the father?
You think we're gonna be disrespected?
Can't you go over there and do some things? Mess with their heads like you do everyone else. Scare them.
Doors open. Neighbor calling.
It's a damn undercover cop. Very nice to meet you, Agent Broker.
I'd be real careful, Broker. People around here don't shake and make up.
Hey, neighbor. Can't get that pump from me.
One more stuff.
Whatever you're thinking, we thinking. You've worked up a pretty bad rep around here.
I don't want any more problems.
Tell your little girl, she's got nothing to worry about with such a tough daddy around.
They call him Gator for some reason.
The word is he's cooking up that meth.
I don't want that narc Broker laying low in my town. Let's take him out.
Stay down here, okay, buddy? There's a man with a gun trying to get into the house. Go.
Get on the ground!
Let go of me!
Let him run!
Yeah!
Honey!
Scared. Please hurry.
Trust me. I'm coming.
I've got a special set of skills. All right. I'm interested in checking this out. I mean, it's the usual Jason Statham kicking ass and taking names, pretending to be an American agent, undercover agent in the South. But, you know, I guess you got to have to forget about the accent there. But I don't know. It just seems pretty good. It's his normal sauce, but I would go see this. What do you guys think? Start with Will.
I don't know. How can I say? I don't foresee there being a lot of action. I see it more being about build up than anything else. And it's not a movie that I'd like to watch right away. It doesn't look bombastic enough for me to watch at the movies. It looks more like a rental to me. That's about it.
Every set, is this on your radar?
I didn't care for the video game of the same name, and this is not on my radar.
Carb, you want to check this out?
It's a maybe for me.
All right, you got a little bit of, there's a lot of Kebo Trek in that, those responses. Oh. Kebo Trek, you want to check this out, man?
I think it would be a cheapy Tuesday movie for me.
Yeah, no, and you know, I'm a fan of his action movies, and I don't think it'd be a Taken level, but it seems to add a little bit more drama to his movies, too. It's not just him driving a car and being a chauffeur.
Well, you know, you know what, though? Anytime he can do an accent, it's a must-see.
I'll agree with that. All right.
Old school, you know what? Sadly, I don't think something will beat Taken for a very long time.
I agree with that. All right, let's get into the DVDs for this week.
DVD release.
So, Will, what's coming up this week, man?
Oh, I'll tell you right away. So, first one we got is Big Stars, which is a definitive documentary about the beloved and influential 70s rock band Big Star. It was never really a big band. It just finally people will get to know them. One guy on Amazon thought it was worth 5 stars. Now, there's also the
Canyons. It's probably the guy who made the movie.
Like last time. Okay.
Amazon, you can't put a rating on something until you actually buy it.
No, I put a rating the other day on Batman Arkham Origins.
Oh, that's new then. Because in the book section, you can't put a rating on a book unless you bought it.
Okay, well, I guess you bought it. Well, you know what? Talking about people who bought it. That means that at least 60 people bought The Canyons because 60 people reviewed it. And they gave it a total of 3.5 stars. It's actually starring Lindsay Lohan and James Dean. Not the dead guy, the porn star. And I found that, like I was talking to Carp, it's very rare for male porn stars to actually make that leap. And this is a pretty big role for James Dean. I feel like checking it out.
It's a humongous role for James Dean.
Yeah. You get fully topless Lohan.
Okay. Anyways, so
I heard he went balls deep in this movie.
Yeah. Okay,
is this pre-drugged up, fucked up Lohan or post?
No, post.
Yeah. But it's like she's got a couple of scenes where she's completely topless, which is the selling point.
Well, but I thought she said she would, because I remember back in Machete, she wouldn't be topless. That was the whole point of the
yeah,
deal.
But then she was like, oh, I'm super on drugs and I'm all fucked up and I have all these
I need money for crack. Sure, James I'll show my tits.
Okay. But guys, what's cool is directed by Paul Schrader, who's the writer of Raging Bull and Taxi Driver. So that's pretty awesome. It's a searing indictment of Hollywood culture and the year's most controversial film. So let's check it out. Next thing is Getaway, which I'm really surprised is here now because I thought, wasn't it just a few weeks ago we were talking about it on the show?
That shows how great this movie is.
Yeah, this movie did not do well. It's with Ethan Hawke. It's pretty much like Phone Booth in a car. And the villain is Angelina Jolie's dad. Who's that guy again? He's not written in the credits.
John Voight.
It's John Voight. George drives his car. Ah, sorry.
It's actually a decent movie. It wasn't a bad movie.
Would you give it 3 stars out of 5?
I'd probably give it a 3.5 or something.
That's pretty good. Because 14 reviews gave it 3 stars out of 5. Then there's Jobs, which is not about, does not have James Dean in this one. This is actually Ashton Kutcher's performance as the man Steve Jobs, which I know you old school wanted to see. Did you watch it old school?
I did watch it actually.
Any good? Would you give it 3.5 stars out of 5?
I would give it 2.5 stars, and I'll tell you why. I thought Kutcher did great. Great, great. There's a couple scenes you actually think it's Steve Jobs.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. This is during the earlier days, of course. And my nay against this, if you're renting it on DVD or you're streaming it legally, of course, go right ahead. The only thing is I find they push too much on the old technology, and it's all about kind of like the back and forth between Jobs and the board, which is the main kind of stuff. So if you were a fan, if you wanted to see like, you know, how the iPod was made and how, you know, all that kind of stuff, the newer tech is not going to be in it. It's more very much the old stuff. A lot of it was based before he got kicked out. And I find there's too much on the back and forth of the board and not enough about his character being fleshed out and more of just the ongoings of like Apple at the time, you know? So for me, I felt a lot of it was rushed and I'd probably give it 2 out of 5.
All right.
So
well,
you would give it an Apple 2 out of 5.
That's a good one. I should have thought of that.
I really didn't. I would not know what that means. Okay. Good. Now we got Red 2, which I watched. I enjoyed it. My favorite performance in there was by Anthony Hopkins, which nails it like he does all the time. Doesn't nail as bad as James Dean does, but nailed it pretty good. What did you think, old school? You saw it too, right?
Yeah, Hopkins is great in this. I loved Hopkins. I mean, the whole cast was great. It was great seeing Helen Mirren kicking ass again. And they actually filmed a scene in the bank I used to work at too, which is kind of cool. Filmed in Montreal as well, so you can see kind of some of the sites for that. But definitely a fun movie. If you like the first one, you'll love the second one.
Cool. Yeah, I agree the same thing. And a lot of people on Amazon agree as well, giving it 4 stars. So that's all. That's what you can get on DVD.
All right, cool. Thank you very much. Will, let's check out what's new on Netflix.
This week in Netflix.
All right, we've got Red Dawn on the American side, which is the remake of the 1980s movie. I actually like this pretty good. Definitely worth streaming, I would say, for your $8 a month. And Saving Santa on the Canadian side, from what I saw, we've got Video Game High School. 12 Rounds 2 Reloaded with the amazing action star Randy Orton at WWE Films production. And we got Saw 4 as well, which is kind of cool. Anything else I missed for Netflix this week?
I'd say The Iceman. It's got Michael Shannon as a hitman. It's supposed to be really good.
Ah, cool. That's American?
Yeah, on the U.S. side.
America.
This thriller based on a true story follows Richard Kalinske, who killed more than 100 people for the mob and his own pleasure between 1964 and 1986.
And
I've heard good things.
And don't forget the holiday classic, Jingle All the Way.
Oh, America wins it for sure. It's my favorite Christmas movie ever.
I thought this is where we can insert the clip of Put That Cookie Down.
And the U.S. also has Bronson, which is one of Bane's first movies.
Yeah, Tom Hardy's. You know what? I didn't like it, though. It's directed by Sigourney Weaver's Drive. It's extremely artistic for the kind of movie it's supposed to be. So be warned, people.
I thought it was a good movie, brother.
I'm sure Bane loved it. All right. Let's get into Carp's Bargain Bin.
I'm going to pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm looking for a comma. This is fucking awesome.
Carp, yes. What do you got for us this week?
Oh, absolute terribleness called 500 Mile Per Hour Storm. It's sci-fi flick made by the great gentleman at Asylum. When an energy experiment goes haywire, a rash of massive hurricanes rips across North America. A high school science teacher must get his family to safety before the hurricanes merge, creating a hypercane with the power to wipe the U.S. off the map. It was so bad. It was like I wanted money back from just watching it for free on Space. The main actor is Casper Van Dien. I should have known then and there it would have been all downhill from there. The CGI storms, the CGI weather experiment thing, it was all crap. People tried to like run away from a flood and got drowned, and like Casper Van Dien survives by like locking himself in a cabinet somewhere. Just everything about this was bad. He was able to drive away from hurricane storm weather and be fine about it. Nothing made sense at all. The acting was terrible. It's a 0.1 mile per hour wow. Storm out of 10.
That reminds me of Titanic 2, which can be found on Netflix.
I guarantee you that's probably better.
I'd have to argue with that. Oh. It's a tough – Titanic 2 was a giant sinking pile of shit.
It's just so bad, man. I wanted that like 92 minutes plus fast-forwarding commercials back in my life.
All right, so check that out if you –
if you want to slowly kill
die
stuff, and it was terrible. Yeah.
All right, let's get into the winter movie draft breakdown for this week.
Hello. Good morning. Let's go. Let's go. Hello. Good morning. Hello.
Game's over.
It's not necessarily over. Hobbit can make some money.
Like Frozen, maybe. I would say Frozen and Hobbit. That's about all you got.
Frozen will make some money.
Yeah.
Anchorman's going to make a shit ton of money. I'm telling
Who's
you.
Who's got that one?
Yeah.
Heavyset's got that one.
I think that was the first pick.
I'm pretty much going to call Kembo in last place, I think, at this point. But from there. So I earned with my single film for the weekend. It made 158 plus million. Heavyset is the only other person who made some money this weekend. Delivery Man with 7.9, plus Best Man Holiday on weekend number 2 with 12.4. So his total right now is 50.5 million, roughly, and I'm at 158. Coming out this
I demand
weekend.
A recount, damn it.
Coming out this weekend, Mr. Old School has 2 films in Homefront and Black Nativity.
So I want Black Nativity to debut at about $90 million.
basically everybody in rural America that's very African American, I believe, goes to see it.
Only very if you're middle African American, no, don't go see it.
Very African American cities like Washington, Baltimore, Atlanta. If they all go three times each during the entire weekend, you could probably maybe have a chance. And you have Homefront, so Jason Statham's not a bad number at the box office. He's not a great number, but he's not a bad number. Heavy Set has nothing. I have nothing. Will has Old Boy coming out. And Kembo has Frozen coming out. That's it.
So yeah, it's over.
The bonuses.
Fuck the bonuses, dude. Unless you got like $100 million for the Academy Award winner, it's over.
Oh, okay.
We'll see. We will keep our eyes posted on this. This game might not be over. We might be surprised.
I got a feeling Walking with Dinosaurs is going to pull in some good bank too. I don't know why. It's just a feeling. Like I can see it doing $50 million opening weekend.
I mean, if Hobbit's got legs, I might have a chance. Yep. But
so we'll see. It's your four weekend box offices. So.
All right. On that note, let's close the show with plugs and final thoughts. Let's start with our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
Well, of course, the Hobbit movie is going to have legs. All they do is walk.
Just films about walking.
Oh, God. Same old, same old. Just follow me on Twitter at HeavySet338, KFave Sports Radio, at KFave Sports, Ohio Nearport, at Ohio Report. Yeah, www.kfavesports.com.
Thank you very much. Carp, what's going on with Stable Wars this week? Did I win?
No, you did not. Survivor Series play-per-view just finished up, but the TLC play-per-view will be up in a couple of weeks. And
did that Ghost Plut win?
New season of Stable Wars will be starting very shortly, so sign on up for the newsletter and you'll get a message when we're starting up the season, or you could join our forum and voice your opinion about random crap there. There's also a boob thread for guys who like boobs.
Hey, how's your mustache thing going?
Oh, my November's going quite great. I do look like a trucker at the moment with my handlebars. And I'm up to 370 right now, but every single donation is welcome. Even if it's not to myself as a Mobro, you got another Mobro out there, please donate to them. This money all goes to a great cause.
So yeah, Killer Carpe Diem came in fifth for the Survivor Series play-per-view. And where am I? I'm closer to the bottom. 77th out of 80. Fantastic. Wow. I have one where I do just like the worst picks, and that came in 28th.
You need the Price is Right losing card whenever you do that.
La Grosse Plot came in 28th place. All right. Will, let's throw this to you. What's out on comicbooksftw.com this week?
Well, hey, you've got... I don't know what's out this week. But you do still have my awesome review of Spider-Man number 1, which I recommend all to watch. Only if you want to... If you're curious to see what this guy looks like, if you want to comment on YouTube and say, hey, you have such a rotten voice and you look ugly too, holy shit, you can finally voice those comments on YouTube by watching these videos. So by all means, please do. If not for that, then to actually get an idea of what Spider-Man was like back in the day in the 60s when Stanley created him. So you can watch that. So the website is comicbooksftw.com.
Please go and troll Will. He's ready for it. All right. Kembo Trek, let's get your final thoughts.
Not much as usual. I will say Lost Girl.
Did you do it on purpose? You do it on purpose.
Kind of. But fourth season of Lost Girl's on, so everyone should check that out if you want to see hot women.
You also have the final season of Breaking Bad is on. You can tell them to watch that.
The complete series
is out. What's that supposed to mean?
That's my Breaking Bad.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the series, then we know you haven't seen the series. All right, so Lost Girl, whatever. So for Kebo Trek, Heavy Set, Carp, and Will, I am Mr. Old School. Thank you very much for listening. That's a good theme.
Yeah, you like it?
Yeah, it's kick ass.
Wow.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indy Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indy Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Knowledge. Breaking down the week's news and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Test. Tasty corn. Tasty. Tasty corn. Tasty corn.
Is it tasty? Is it tasty corn?
Is it? Is it really tasty?
Is it?
Is it?
I don't know. I'm asking you. You're the
you
one
tell,
who's
no, you tell me. You tell is me? It is it tasty?
I don't know. Does it show up in your poop still as corn?
Is it tasty, damn it?
I don't know.
No.
Carp audio test.
Peace, Mom is the bomb while I was hanging out in Vietnam.
Keep talking?
Keep talking about Vietnam or Keith's mom?
Both.
Both about your mom and Vietnam?
Yeah.
Sounds too much like Into Darkness.
All right, Kebbo Trek, what happened this week, brother? Buddy?
Brother? Buddy?
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 If I had, like, donated sperm and they're like, oh, by the way, you're the father of 500 children, I'd be eating the business end of a fucking shotgun. So, I mean...
Kurt Cobain.